Welcome to Grace Chapel in South Carolina. Let's praise and worship the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for he is worthy.
In the Lord, because he is a mighty God. He is a great God. He is a delivering God. He is a healing God. He is a God that knows what is before, and a God that knows what is behind. And he's in both, and he's here to take you with him. Or mowing the yard, see if you're praising God all the time. You can't get in trouble. How can you yell at your wife when you're praising God? She may need to be yelled at. But I'll guarantee you'll get more done by praising God than yelling at your wife. And wives, the same thing goes for the husbands. So if you're called on by the Lord, get in the habit of praising Him continually in your heart. And once in a while, open your tater traps and let everybody hear it. Amen.
Into his marvelous light.
the Lord a cheer. Praise God. You singers can sit down. We're going to start in Matthew today. Chapter 27 and verse 50. The Lord gave me pieces of something years ago, and He's given me the rest of the pieces last night. So I'm going to share them with you. I don't know how long it'll take. I've got the pieces. I just don't know how He's going to put them together yet. We'll find out as we go along. We may be out here by 5 o'clock. I don't know. Amen. Now, we'll be done by the end of the hour, but we may have to just finish it on Thursday. And then Sunday. And then the next Thursday. Who knows? But anyway, verse 50, Jesus said, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. I'm going to call this the mystery of the veil. Why did the veil rend in twain? We know we've heard stories about it. We've heard all kinds of stories that because God was no longer in the temple, and He came out and tore that veil in twain in half. Now get an idea of this veil. It wasn't like that. This thing was 40 foot high, 40 foot long, 4 inches thick. Continual woven material. You could take 2 Sherman tanks and pull it apart with it. It was a mighty event that took place. Now, I want you to say something for me. In the beginning. Alright, now say, in the beginning, God. It all starts there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Now, say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All right, so we see in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But even then, He was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen. Now, God created man. Amen. And it is said that when He created Adam, he had no clothes. Is that not what is taught? Yet I want to ask you, why would He create Adam with no clothes? If even the lilies of the field are dressed so great that even Solomon in all his glory could not compare. Are we going to say the lilies of the field, which are here today and burned in the oven tomorrow, are worth more than Adam was in the beginning? No. God has never, ever created any living thing that was naked. It always had clothes, or somebody get it, a veil. Adam was clothed with a veil called righteousness. It was the righteousness of man that God had given to Adam. And Adam could keep that righteousness as long as he obeyed God's word. And his word was simple. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt most surely die. And then we find that Adam did eat of that tree of knowledge. And he saw that he was naked. The veil was stripped away. And he was left exposed. And God came walking in the garden. It was Jesus, the voice of the Lord God walking. Walking in the garden, calling out for Adam. And Adam was hidden. He said, "Why are you hiding?" He said, "Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree?" And he had to confess that he did. So God gave him another veil. And in this veil, he took an animal and sacrificed it to show Adam what he would do to redeem Adam's race. And he gave him the clothes of that animal, the skin of that animal for clothes. And that was his new veil. But he had not the righteousness. Amen. Now we find, I want to tell you about another veil. Another veil was the burning bush that Moses went to. God was in the bush, but the bush was not God. But he was in the bush. And the veil was the fire that hid God. Are you hearing me? Another veil was the cloud that followed the children of Israel by day. It was a cloud. God was in the cloud, but he was not the cloud. But he was in the cloud. And the cloud was a veil that hid God from the people. Yet they could know where God was. By night, he gave a pillar of fire. The pillar of fire also was a veil. God was in the veil. He was in the fire. But he was not the fire. It was the veil. Are you beginning to see any of this? How many want to be free of sickness? How many want to be free of disease? How many want to be free of fear? This is how you do it. When you learn the mystery of the veil and how it applies to you, you can then be free of all those things that Satan would put on you. Jesus said, "The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have that abundantly." Which brings me to another veil. When Jesus was born, he was born into the body of a man. That man was not God. It was a veil that God was in, so that he was man and God. I hope somebody's hearing this. The people didn't see God in that little baby, but he was in that little baby. The baby was a veil that shielded him from the people. Are you beginning to hear this? When Jesus died on that cross, the veil in the temple was split in twain because the veil of the body was no longer needed. And he left that body. He went to hell and he paid for your sins and for my sins. He took the sicknesses and diseases and the stripes on his back. He took all of that, and he spent 3 days in hell and came up out of hell into the heavenlies and took on another veil. He took on the righteousness of man, which Adam had lost, so that when he appeared to some of the 11, they did not know who he was. The girl, Mary and Mary, did not recognize him because he was in a different veil. Huh? He was in a different veil. He was in the veil of the righteousness of Adam. Now when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he redeems us from that curse that was Adam. But he cannot give us the veil of the righteousness of Adam. He has to give us a different veil. And this veil is the righteousness of God. Amen. Now the time is going to come when John, 1 John, I think it is, chapter 2, verse 3, or the other way around, says that we don't know what we're going to look like when we go to be with him. But we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. See, there's a veil between us and him that keeps this old man separate from God. Now God said, I will pour out my spirit upon you. Amen. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost. He will teach you all things. We will come and make our abode with you. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and entered into the disciples, the 120. Now, this always bothered me, because I know that Jesus said that you can't take new wine and put it in an old wine bottle, because if you do, it'll burst, and you lose both. This body is the old wine bottle. But when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the blood that he put on the horns of the altar, that sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God, that blood is given to you. And that blood separates your physical body from your spirit body. It is a veil. That is your life. When we go to read where Cain rose up and killed Abel, God said that he could hear the blood of Abel crying out, for the life is in the blood. If the life is in the blood, and the Spirit of God is life, then the Spirit of God in you gives life. But not in the fleshly body, which is a veil that will be torn away when you die. Then you put on the new veil, which by faith you live in now, which is Jesus Christ. And therefore, he, sitting on the throne of God, as God, one with God, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You then, by faith, in that power of that blood, and in the life in that blood, live with him in that throne. You no longer count yourself living here. You no longer count yourself living in this earthly plane. You reject the earthly plane, and you put yourself as living by faith in God's heavenly plane. The mind only knows the natural. It only knows the natural since the day you were born. It knew God before you were born. But when you were born, the baby was cut off by the curse. You hear me? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul from the spirit. When the baby comes out of the womb, God's word went into effect. And the soul was cut off from the spirit. What do we say the spirit was? The spirit is the life. Therefore, if the life is cut off from the body, then the body's dead, even though it walks around. Amen. To God, that little baby is just as dead as a man in the grave. Just as dead. Just as dead as I am. Just as dead as you are. Because of that, that baby starts dying from the moment it's born. And that happens to every one of us. But God, in His power, has given us something greater that can overcome that curse, can supersede that curse, can put the curse where it belongs, in the ground, and then raise us above that curse through the promise which is Jesus Christ. By the healing power of the life of God, which is the Holy Ghost. So that when you have that blood, you call that blood upon yourself, and you ask God and you plead God for that blood in you and in your heart, then you begin to learn how to see with your mind in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of the world. You gotta disregard the kingdom of the world and embrace the kingdom of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right. When the rock followed the children of Israel in the desert, the rock was not God, but God was in the rock. The rock was a veil. Hear me? The rock was a veil. It hid God from the children of Israel. Amen? When Moses went up onto the mountain, great thunder and lightning and clouds came down upon the mountain. The thunder, the lightning, and the clouds, that was not God. It was a veil that hid God. Amen? Did He not say in His word that He makes His ministers a flaming fire? Amen. So that flaming fire is a veil. You walk out with that Holy Ghost power in you by faith. People are only going to see the veil. But when you speak through the power of the Holy Ghost, then will God be revealed through you. You will not be God. You will be as that rock, or as that pillar of fire, or the pillar of cloud, or the burning bush. You will be a veil. Hiding God from the people. But by the word which is God, shall they see and hear, and God will manifest Himself. You have to learn to be the veil and cut loose of the worldly things. And believe on every word that's in this book, the Holy Bible. Amen. That's part one. Let's do a song. Of the veil is really simple. It's so simple. It's right in front of you. It's been in front of us from the beginning, from the very beginning. Another veil, if you will, is the second heaven between our heaven and God's heaven. It keeps man from seeing God's heaven. See how simple this is. It is simple. It's not complicated. It's simple enough that even Paul could understand it. Which means the rest of you should be able to as well. Amen. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. So you can get your mind out of there. You're thinking I'm talking about Brother Paul. It was simple enough for the Apostle Paul to see it. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. He saw that. He knows that when he sinned, it was not him that sinned, but the flesh. Amen. So there he, what? With his flesh, he will serve the law of sin. But with his mind, the law of God. And what is the law of God? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that simple? That's almost as simple as don't eat of that tree. Even if your wife does come and tease you with it. Amen. Tell the wife for her sake, you get rid of that. I don't need it. You see, the veil will only keep those that are on the outside of the veil from seeing what's behind the veil. Now, my veil is not one-dimensional. My veil is not one-dimensional. It's not like that curtain where I'm on one side and God's on the other. Or you're on one side and I'm on the other. Or however you would want to put it. But my veil is three-dimensional in that it wraps around me. And it's in the center is the holies of holies. The Spirit of God. Do you hear me? Yes. Satan don't want me to preach this. I was talking fine before the service. And now he's trying to take my voice, but that's all right. He's not going to win. If he messes with me too much longer, I'll sing. That'll really run him off. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you can get a handle on the simplicity of how God works within the veil, then you will know how God works within you so that others can be reached by God. In the Old Testament, the high priest was the only one who could go behind the veil and do the sacrifice and the offering. He was the only one that could take the blood and pour it on the horns of the altar. And since no man could go back there, lest he die, bells were put on the hem of the high priest's garment, and a rope was tied about his waist. And as long as the congregation could hear the bells, they knew all was well. But if the bells stopped, they knew he blew it and was dead, and they would have to drag him out by the rope. But now that veil that was behind, that separated the people from God, is now gone. And a new veil has taken its place. But this veil is one where you go into the holiest of holies with God. You become as the high priest to those that are without. You become that man. Whether you be woman or man, it makes no difference. But you gotta get rid of fear. You gotta get shed of fear. You gotta get rid of doubt. For 2 years, I have been living in a place of wonder whether I would live or die. I've actually been getting ready to die. And I knew why, but I didn't have the courage, if you will, to do something about it. But when I really came to that place where it didn't matter whether I live or whether I die, as long as I'm serving God, when I did it, the Lord showed me what the problem was and how to solve it. And now I've solved it. And I already can feel a difference. And I know that although I would in some ways much rather go and be with the Lord, it would do you better for me to stick around a while so I can give you a hard time, especially Steve. He needs all the hard time I can give him. Take this message. Think on it. Dwell on it. I'll bring you more on Thursday. Amen.
Take me past the outer courts, into the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me past the outer courts, into the holy place, past the praise. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
You know, the goodness of the Lord is in that everything that the Bible describes him as it's revealing his character and his nature and his plan is that we get to partake in his plan and his nature and his goodness. And it really, the challenge is, do you believe his word? Is, you know, we just heard about the life. Let's see if I can find it, because I was just reading it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Colossians says that in him doth all the fullness of the Godhead dwell. If If you can wrap your arms around the message today, if you can believe His Word, and that His Word is true. If you can't believe His Word is true, He can fix that too. I've spent times crying out in desperation. Because if I believed that His Word was true, this would be different than it is. When you cry out to the Lord, He hears you. And He will meet that need. When your life is about being that priest in that priesthood position for all those out there that you can minister the word to, every promise of the Lord is yea and amen. Every provision is yours. You know, I'm sitting there with just all these promises that are going through my head. Go into Isaiah. The word says, by His stripes you were healed. It's done. You believe that? You believe that? Why are you sick? Right? If you don't believe it, cry out to the Lord. You know, sometimes it doesn't all come at once. I don't know why that is. I think it's probably our flawed nature. But there's no reason why you can't get a hold of this stuff. Pray before the service, the Lord, open up our hearts that we may receive His Word. Prepare our hearts to receive the truth, the life, deliverance, the healing that is the Word of God. I can't really add a whole lot to what David delivered, but I can tell you this. My pursuit of it is not going to end. And I'm going to grab hold with everything there is. And hold on for dear life. Because it is a matter of life and death. Y'all come and join me. And remember that the truth of the gospel, the practical truth of the gospel. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The only reason I have life is I am hid with Christ in God. As I go back to Colossians, that's what it says. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, He's appearing to you right now. Act on that. Get on your knees. Cry out to Him. If you don't believe this stuff, cry out to Him. If you don't know Him, cry out to Him. He's not going to turn His back on you. He will meet you.
broken right, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey.
Yeah.